It seems that we do not have to go real far to hear about tragedies and terror and hurt and pain and destruction and all sorts of terrible things. We become almost immune to the daily news stories of another shooting, another senseless destruction of life, people's lives who are full of anxiety and hurt and pain. And again and again we hear this. We hear what people's anger has roused up, where people act out of animosity or disregard of human life, disregard of human dignity to one another. Where once that there were certain aspects of life and humanity that would seem to be sacred, now life is so often degraded. We tend to ignore the goodness of life, the sanctity, the wholeness and holiness of people's lives. We treat people, one another, almost as cattle. We don't always respect the integrity and the wholeness and the holiness that has been ours in the beginning of time. We seem to have a culture that lacks compassion or empathy or any kind of regard of compassion. We see that again and again, and we are overwhelmed by all this confusion, all this sinfulness, and all this evil that seems to be so prevalent in our world today. The Russian poet Yevgeny Yevtushenko wrote in his memoirs an experience that he had growing up in Leningrad. Now, if you remember, Leningrad was overwhelmed by the German army during the latter part of the Second World War. And the Germans caused this intense amount of destruction and death in the city of Leningrad. But the Russian army prevailed. So there were hundreds upon hundreds of German soldiers who were taken prisoner during that time, during that conflict. And the citizenry of Leningrad had this intense anger, animosity towards the Germans. At one point, the poet says that they marched the soldiers, POWs, the German soldier POWs, they marched them through town, and the citizenry of Leningrad gathered around the streets. And at the beginning of this march, the citizenry began to hurl insults and yell at them and express all sorts of anger. But suddenly the crowd died down as these men who were wearing these POW uniforms, the POW dress, walked by. And they were still badly maimed and hurt and injured, obviously, from the conflict. Some of them were still very much bandaged up or walking with crutches or walking with the assistance of other POWs. They also looked very, very frail, very, very scared. There was not this sense of ferociousness about each or any one of them at all. And at one point in time, the poet said, as he's standing there, an older woman broke through the crowd and ran up to one of the German soldiers, one of the German POWs, with a half a loaf of bread, and the old rye bread, this crusty rye bread, and thrust it into the pocket of one of the POWs. And soon, other POWs did likewise, other Russians did likewise. They ran to the POWs and handed them food, bread and cheese and butter. They handed them playing cards, cigarettes, anything that might make their life a little bit more comfortable. Some embraced them because suddenly, as they looked at these men, these injured men, these wounded men, these men who had come off the battlefield only weeks before, they did not see in them this enemy, these terrible people, but they began to recognize in them men who were hurt and injured, people who were someone's brother, someone's father, someone's husband, men who now were scared and frightened, who needed compassion, who needed care. And he was overwhelmed by the empathy that was suddenly shown by the city for this group of men who only weeks before tried to slaughter them. There was now the sense of compassion. And to be sure, maybe that's what needs to be changed in our own world, is that where there is violence, there's also a lack of humanity. Where there's hatred, there's also a lack of understanding. When we treat each other with disregard, perhaps because we do not know the other who we are treating, we're called in our lives to seek out the humanity of one another, just as God blesses our humanity through the incarnation, that we understand that we are made in God's image and God's likeness, each and every one of us. And there's a wholeness and holiness that is conveyed to all of us, that we possess because we are God's very people. Back many, many years ago, John Paul II, when he was Pope, St. John Paul II, when he was leaving Denver after World Youth Day, he was asked about some of the problems. What's some big problems in our world today? And he said that we live now in this culture of death, that we are so immune to being moved by death or destruction or hurt or pain, that there's no sense of sacredness of life, that there's a sacredness of death, that we sort of almost revel in the fact that we hear destruction and hurt and pain, that we no longer allow our lives to be moved with pity or moved with passion towards those who encounter all these terrible things. And he says what we need is a culture of life, a culture in which we not only embrace the sacredness and holiness and sanctity of life, but also by our own sacred lives, we live that out in our response to one another as well. In the parable of the vineyard, both in Isaiah's account and Jesus' account, we are reminded that we are planted in this vineyard, that we have this place and space in which we have our home, our sacred home. It's a vineyard that we are called to take care of, to nurture and to prune and to make ready this rich harvest, that we are responsible for what happens in the vineyard, that we are to make sure that we always produce good grapes and a fruitful harvest at that. And just as this was a moving parable for those who listened to it the very first time, for us as its contemporary people, the message today that is not only a people, but as a church as well, the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ of sharing good news and that the fact that He is always with us must be conveyed into our hearts. And we must accept the fact that we are now those disciples, we are now those stewards of what we have received. That everything that we have from God is a gift from God. And we receive that in just that way. So we receive with great thanksgiving and praise all the gifts that we have, the abilities that we have, the things that we are able to do, those actions and activities in which we are able to share in the people's lives. But sometimes those gifts that we receive are also those people that sit around our table or our cafeteria table or in the workroom or the places where we are employed. Those are also gifts to us as well. And we nurture and nourish all those gifts, make sure that they are taken care of well, because we are responsible for all the gifts that God has given us. And then nurturing and nourishing what God has given us, we increase it. We share it with charity and goodness and love, and we return it to the Lord with increase. And that's to be sure the challenge that each and every one of us has as we are planted in the vineyard. The very gospel proclaims to each and every one of us the wonders that we have because we are God's people. And how do we respond? Well, we respond out of compassion and love and care for one another. We seek out God first, recognizing the goodness of God in one another. We praise and thank God for the gift of life, and we thank God for the gift of each other's life, realizing that we're walking along this journey, we're walking along this pathway, and we assist each other on this road, and we look out for the needs and concerns of each other as well, that we are that remnant, if you will. I've always been impressed when I've done the retreats with the high school kids, the Kairos retreats, and back at St. Ed High School and back at St. Mary Parish, you know, the kids grumblingly go to the retreats and they try to get out of it and they don't really want to go. But we talk about their life, and we talk about their life with God. We talk about their unity and communion with God and community with one another as well. And most importantly, we keep pushing the fact that they are loved by God, that we have unity with God, we have oneness with God, that all that we have is from God, and we belong to God the Father. And the more we talk about that, it helps them understand that worldly perspective, that perspective of the gospel values, the gospel goodness. And we are called not just to proclaim that or to go through rote motions about that, but to live out those gospel values as well, to live out that gospel lifestyle, that everything that we do, everything that we say, the choices that we make, the responsibilities we take upon ourselves, always proclaim good news to one another. And when they come home, suddenly they want to do church. They want to do Jesus things. They want to praise God and thank God. They want to be about the community and helping by their own lives establish a community. They realize how sometimes their actions or attitudes or activities or behaviors do not always give life, and how they can reform their own lives. How wonderful it is to see that change and transformation in these young lives, because they have a different perspective. The perspective that's not based on wealth and power or prestige or position, but it's based on the ability to be servant leaders and to wash the feet of one another, to tend to the vines and to bear fruit from the vines that have been planted around us. We are that remnant, and sometimes we have to look for those examples, the saints and the mystics, that help us understand what it means to be a holy people. Yesterday, we celebrated the feast of St. Francis, and we talk about these holy men and women like Francis, who understood where his life was empty, where his life lacked a sense of purposefulness or meaning. And he realized and recognized that doing the gospel was where he found that kind of meaning, by meeting Jesus Christ in his brothers and sisters, by serving the poor and the unwanted, by lifting up those who are lowly. We are challenged each and every day of our lives, especially when there are difficulties or challenges, to live our life based and founded in the cornerstone of our church, which is Jesus Christ, that we seek and understand that he is the foundation of everything that we are about, that our lives begin and end in Jesus Christ our Lord, and in simple ways, that we don't have to go far, far away to do Jesus things. We don't have to do complex or great theological things to do Jesus things. But a life of kindliness, a life of consideration, of gentleness, reconciliation and forgiveness. These are the ways that we keep living in the vineyard and bearing good fruit. And St. Paul is sort of neat here because he's with the Philippians. And he loves these people, to be sure. And he's talking to a people who are going to begin the church in a whole new area, a place that they've never been to before. So he's really in love with this community that seems to really take root and is doing so well. But he reminds him before he leaves, before he walks away, or sails away, actually, he reminds them, he says, brothers and sisters, remember, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. But not just, he says, he wants to understand, not just think about them, but to do them, and to allow them to be incorporated to our very lives. He says, keep on doing what you have learned and received, and have heard and seen in me, albeit Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Then, he says, when we talk about violence and destruction and everything, when we do those things, do those actions with virtues and values, then the God of peace will be with you.